On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Kick.
He gets him again. I could snap some ribs, man.
Mirko looks tentative, though.
Bautista gets hit by Matt Bush.
That's weak.
Hit on the ground. Beltre goes to second for one, and Bautista. Now there's a fight at second, and Odor smokes Bautista.
Bautista picked on the wrong guy as Odor came right at him, and we got the benches empty in that.
And there's a lot of animosity out there right now.
I'll tell you, this has been brewing since last October.
You could tell that Jose was rocked by that.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly in the middle there. We can't see it, but everybody's out there on the field, and the punches are still being thrown.
These two don't like each other, and they are battling each other.
It might be the best baseball punch I've ever seen.
The pain that these two men are preparing to endure is inhuman. How they will put their bodies on the line here is beyond description. A very precarious position. Ooh. Nothing between the Undertaker and the concrete floor but imagination. And apparently the Hell in the Cell match is officially underway in the most god-awful of locations.
Oh my gosh,
look at this. Oh, chair shot just makes you sick, makes your blood curl. They're fighting on a steel roof of this cell. They use it. That's a steel chair that Mankind is using.
Oh my gosh, look at this. It broke through. It broke through.
Well, that's a lot of weight. There's 200-300 pounders up there. They're destroying the Hell in the Cell. And my God, don't get them over here where we are. What's going to happen here? Fighting back. He's fighting back. They're right above us, folks. And I don't like it a damn bit.
Oh my God.
Right by Bortolo, he got him in the beak. Right by Bortolo, he got him in the face. Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo.
Right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo. Got him right in the mouth. Right by Bortolo. And they go down in a heap. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow.
They are set to fight again. Good start. He connects again.
Oh,
big trouble.
Huge trouble.
Looking to finish this fight.
Oh, he's got a guillotine.
Looking to finish it right here.
Can Frank Rowland get on top? Yes, he can.
Wow.
Frank rolls. Oh, side control from here. Look at this. Kimura.
Can he get the submission?
Oh, no, oh, he might have it. In trouble. Oh, look at this. Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
He's got it.
It is all over. It is all over.
Unbelievable.
Has submitted Big Dog.
Unbelievable.
Watch it pop.
Watch it snap. That's not a pop, my friend. That's a broken arm. Look at that. Bang. Good night.
We can work it out. How can we be lovers if we can't be friends? How can we start over where the fight never ends? Baby. How can we make love if we can't make amends? How can we be lovers if we can't be friends?
How's it going, everybody? We kick off our Grey Cup extravaganza with sounds from around the studio since Maddie and Rob ended up in the same room together. Across the table, Rob Christie, how are you?
I'm loving the Michael Bolton, and that's a little taste of the Matt's personal playlist.
Obviously. Where else is this shit going to come from?
Feeling like Sunday morning, a little...
Maddie Lang, how are you?
Feeling great, brother. How are you doing?
Not bad. I'm going to get you to all day. I'm going to be on you. Stay on that mic, man. There's been some
more Sunday morning action for you.
before we kick it off,
right on the mic.
I should mention, of course, before we kick it off, that this hashtag TCA Goes Gray edition of Tall Can Sports brought to you by Nita Beer Company. Visit them at nitabeer.com or at 190 Colonnade Road in Ottawa. I think we're all enjoying a little Nita right now. What do we got going on?
Loving it.
What did you crack open there? Or what did you need help cracking open, Maddie? What was that?
I keep getting this wrong. Is it 10-12?
It's the 10-12.
10-12.
Yeah.
So that's what we're both drinking on this side of the table.
I got the Perfectum, as always, one of my favorites going over here. Straight from the growler because I'm a bit of a savage. If you want to interact with the show, absolutely do so at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. If you like what we do, and you really should because, I mean.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Production values like we just saw, man. Only the best for you people.
Slaving over a hot microphone, Matt over there.
Plus Patreon. All the drunk tweets we have coming for you this,
honestly,
this afternoon and evening.
Patreon.com/TallCanAudio. You can support the show over there. And yeah, definitely, if you're kicking around the Grey Cup or you're watching the game, use the hashtag TCA Goes Grey. And I swear to God, I'm going to punch anyone in the face who spells Grey wrong on these. But how are we doing? It's Grey Cup weekend. Been a long time coming. We've been talking about doing this for a couple months. The big game is, of course, Sunday night. We record this on Saturday afternoon, just so you all know where we're at. It's been a big week around here. We've had a lot of...
Busy. Young Matt has outdone himself, really, in terms of beating the bushes, getting this all... Well, the bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting guests lined up. Editing, doing all kinds of stuff, making it back and forth to the brewery.
That's the hardest part of his job.
Honestly, that's my favorite part of the job, too, though.
It's thirsty work.
Yeah.
Podcasting, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly. I don't think you fully understand what goes into one of these things.
Listen, slow clap for the Uber drivers who have to take him back and forth to the brewery.
Well, yeah. That's how it goes.
Let's do a slow clap for the suspension in the back of the Uber driver's car.
And it getting more and more work as the week goes on.
Yes.
There seems to be, before we get into the Grey Cup, this impression that this was going to be ugly when we got you two in studio for the first time. Now, I should mention, yesterday, of course, we did a show that you can check out at tallcanaudio.com or on your podcast feed with Scott MacArthur of TSN, which technically was the first time you two would be in studio together. That kind of fell in our lap at the last second, and so you were both on your best behavior. Where do you think this stems from? Because there have been some... not so thinly veiled shots back and forth as, you know, as you two have been on at separate times.
You want to take that?
Take that.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I think this is mostly Mac generated.
How do you figure?
I think you're a hater.
So, in your minds, you haven't taken shots at each other at different times throughout the last 2.5 years.
I have nothing but respect for...
That's where it comes from the bottom of my heart.
This is it. This is like Anchorman. I hate you so much, but God damn it, I respect the hell out of you.
Yeah, and then you end up meeting with your own news teams and so
down the back alley.
Matt killed a guy.
And really, I think we all understand that it just comes down to this a little good-natured,
ribbon.
Back and forth, jocular kind of.
Yeah.
And when we both get together, we both enjoy a beverage.
Always.
And
to tolerate each other's company.
And Matt knows that if he gets out of hand, he gets knocked the fuck out and put back into his sleepies with the feet on them. That's about it.
The only thing that I got there is that Matt or Maddie?
Which one of us is getting knocked the fuck out? Right.
And putting the feet in pajamas. That's...
With a little trapdoor in the back.
Obviously, I'm not even interested. Yeah, there's no trapdoor.
Come on,
for easy.
Move along.
Easy, like Sunday morning. Yeah, man.
Get up on the mic.
Okay. Later on, before we do this, we will give you our Grey Cup predictions. We've also taken a little time and asked some of our friends, some of our guests, other podcast folks, whatever might be going on, people you've heard around the network before, to give their Grey Cup predictions. We'll hit you with that a little later on. Before we get into this, our predictions specifically, how do we feel about a Toronto-Calgary matchup in Ottawa? Is this kind of, as the playoffs started, what we thought would be?
First things first, how do you feel about women with tattoos?
I'm
not
okay
sure
with
where
it.
You're yeah. going with
I'm
that
okay
one.
With it, I guess.
No, just a straight question.
I'm in.
Okay. Does it matter where the tattoo is?
Generally not.
Generally not. How do you feel about a woman with a full sleeve tattoo?
See,
I'm still in.
Okay.
All right. That'll
work. All right. Well, okay, see, then this is it.
When
this
you get
is why
to
we
the,
asked the question.
When you get to the sleeve.
Yeah. Yep.
It depends on the art, let's say.
Okay. I ask only because, yeah, guys with full sleeves, you look at that and go, what are you doing there, buddy? To me, it's overkill, right? And so you see a woman, it was one of the waitresses when I was out having breakfast this morning, she's like, oh, I'm working on a full sleeve tattoo. And I'm like, why? Right? To me, I don't get it, but you're digging it? You're okay with that?
Little attitude. I don't mind it.
Okay. All right. Matt, you're the tiebreaker here. Where are you going with this?
I don't get it, but I don't hate it. Like, to me, it doesn't add anything to me, right? To me, I kind of go, you know, I guess that's up to you. I don't find them hot, but I don't find them, you know, to be a turnoff either. It's just kind of, I guess.
Like, let me just say this. If it's a tribal tattoo on her arm, like Pamela Anderson back in 1994,
right.
I'm out.
Okay.
But if you have something meaningful, if you have some nice ink
done.
Yeah,
but what's meaningful about the sleeve? That's...
I don't think it's about a sleeve. It's just maybe the art they've chosen or the style they've chosen to do. I think I've seen some that are pretty nice looking. There's a lot of really crappy tattoos as well.
Yeah. What,
like I get little, you know, maybe this symbolizes something or there's initials here and there. Like, I get those sorts of meaningful. But to me, yeah, when you're doing the whole sleeve, that's more of a...
Do you have a tattoo?
Attention is too strong, but...
I have a tattoo.
Okay, where is it?
I have a tattoo on my shoulder and chest.
Okay, so one
tattoo. It kind of crosses.
Right okay, over. Matt.
I absolutely do not have a tattoo.
I do not. No, I'm not adverse to one. I wouldn't mind getting one, but to me, really, I want something that...
Tramp stamp?
Yeah. This is it. Gonna get that big junk.
I thought you were gonna get Carlson's face put right on your chest, actually.
Well, he's not who I'm choosing.
That'd be awesome.
I get where you're going with that.
Put that right on the tailbone.
Yeah, see,
Mark Stone, maybe?
I'd get a Delta. Yeah. Love Mark Stone, though, man. I'd get a Delta tattoo, really, I think. But it's got to be something that I want that's going to be there forever, really, is what it is. I don't want to do, like, two beavers fucking on the back of my neck, you know? Something like that.
Oh, you know what? I could get talked into getting a tattoo, too.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, later on tonight.
God.
Oh, we're going to need more growlers.
A couple more beers, and Matt will have two beavers fucking tattooed. Okay, anyways, slight diversion, but that's what I, this is what I do. I just.
Yeah, I thought yesterday's diversion was wild.
I felt strongly about it, and I just think at the time, I go, you know what? I'm in my 40s now. Maybe I'm just old.
Well, those are two different arguments.
Really?
Yeah, you are just old. That argument has been settled. Now it's the tattoo thing. That's
well, you know what?
It is odd, don't you think, that at 40, you'd still be considering a tattoo? Like, doesn't it seem like something you would do at 20 or, you know, even as a teenager, you're feeling a little impulsive? I don't know. It seems odd to me that you would get to 40 years old and now go, yeah, now I'd like a tattoo.
Yeah. Well, see, and originally, yeah, I had wanted to do it in my late 20s probably, right? And just didn't pull the trigger on it.
Right.
Right. At that time, I really liked the sort of the stylized maple leaf with the veins in it, right? That kind of thing. But
in blue.
Always blue.
No. But anyway, so that was it. And so I thought, oh, man, I'm looking at this girl, and she's clearly a little late between the years, right? But what are you doing? What are you doing with the full sleeve tattoo?
How old would this girl have been?
She's probably 40. 20. Yeah. No, she's probably over 20.
All right. Whatever you want to do, I guess.
All right. Anyways.
I think it's just a change to finish off that thought.
Stay on the mic, buddy.
We're doing at 40. I think it's the concept of what a tattoo is in North America, where in other cultures, it's about your lifeline, right?
Yep.
You're hitting those markers in your life that you want memorialized on your body, or it's part of your story.
So where do you stand on?
He's 40, and he wants to celebrate getting old.
There's a great line I've seen. Do you think Japanese kids have clever American things tattooed on them?
I hope so.
The McDonald's logo or the New York Yankees logo. Exactly. I think that's what's happening over there.
It's all just do it.
Awesome.
So what about a nice, you know, Mike Tyson tribal tattoo, Maori kind of thing, right in your face.
Right on the face?
Right in your face.
Hey, if you're a boxer, all for it.
No, if I'm a boxer, I'm not putting anything exactly. Ooh, it hurts.
Fist mark.
Okay, so how old were you when you got your tattoo?
I was 30.
Okay, see, so.
A couple years ago.
All right.
So 40's old. Is that what we're determining here?
It just seems like if it was something you were super interested in, you probably would have pulled the trigger by 40. I could be way off.
No. I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
I'm just.
Capture that.
Yeah.
Be a button.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
Grey Cup. Toronto versus Calgary. Was this the most likely or most, you know, predictable matchup when the playoffs started?
I think if you look at. I'll just jump in here before you weigh in with your
Patriots talk. My extreme CFL knowledge.
Yes. I think if you look at Edmonton, probably the hottest team in the West at the conclusion of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Argos playing some of the best football they've played all season at the end of the season right here. Thank you, Jason Moss.
Honestly.
For your terrible call, right, that probably helps Calgary get through. Now, Calgary was, I think, for most of the season, deemed to be the cream of the CFL.
Right.
Now, I know you and Nate covered this quite extensively, but Jason Moss saying that he would do that play again, I think he said 2 million times or whatever it was he said, that just makes you sound like a petulant child.
Yeah, and you're going to be wrong 2 million more times.
This is it. And everybody else, and I get it. You know what? All of us here have been involved in sort of competitive sports, higher level sports, shit's got to be made in a split decision. Those kind of calls, I get it. And you go, okay, sorry, you know what? I have 3 seconds to make that call. That's what I did.
If I had it to do over, I would do it the other way.
Yeah, I think maybe in hindsight, you go, blam.
Yeah.
I would do it differently. But to go, yeah, I'm making that call every time.
Just makes you sound like.
That just makes you sound like you should, be fired, maybe.
Well, it makes you sound like you can't do math.
Yeah, well, there's something to that, right? And he's in Edmonton, so.
So thanks to Jason Moss. I think this is a legit final, I think, for this league.
I think either one of those two, just before I hand it to Maddie here for a second, either one of the teams coming out of that Western final was going to be legit. To me, Saskatchewan, although they put up a good fight late, they made that fourth quarter pretty interesting. To me, with how hot Toronto had been, how well they were playing, for me, Toronto was the likely you know, team out of the East. What do you...
Listen, you know the extent of my CFL knowledge, but I did actually watch a lot of the playoffs, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
Spurred on by Matt, 100%.
Nice.
That being said...
Stay on the mic. Okay,
the East... Jesus Christ.
It's tough. And for those of you who don't know, I'm going to interrupt Maddie. The thing that happens here is I'm sitting across the table from them. So I can go back and forth. I'm looking at both. They have to remember, instead of looking at each other like decent human beings who are having a conversation, look straight ahead at the microphone, even if you're talking. It's tough. It's tough.
It's tough not being on the Skype machine like normal.
Right. He was just sitting there in his underwear. Just
with his lukewarm bottle of moose head.
I should go in the other room and just call in Skype on Skype.
Phone in.
So much easier for me.
Caller, you're on the air. First time, long time.
Yeah. Take it back.
Good God. Where was I? So Toronto. Yeah. Okay, everybody knows the East isn't very good football, at least this year. Mm. Toronto was a way better team, especially the last couple weeks going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
They really hit their stride. We talked about it a little bit yesterday off air. Offensive line, defensive line looked amazing. I think the semifinal game was a little closer than it should have been. They still came through. I think they were always going to be the team that came through the East. In the West, I didn't get a chance to watch too much, but it did look like either two of those teams were like the cream of the crop. So,
yeah, like it was in Calgary, probably best team all year, as we talked about, who coasted a little at the end. Edmonton, hottest team. That's always an interesting matchup. And we see it in so many sports, right? You're home and cool in the NHL if you're the Red Wings with 112 wins by March 15th or whatever it was in the late 90s. You know, you kind of coast a little bit and you run into the red hot, whatever, Dallas Stars getting in at the right time. And all of a sudden, holy fuck, it's hard to fire it up. It's hard to press the button, right?
I mean, I was just a little disappointed because at the beginning of the season, knowing that we were going to come down for the Grey Cup and do this whole event, I put money down in Vegas on a Calgary-Baltimore final.
Oh, jeez.
What, Shreveport wasn't available? Right? You didn't have that?
Hey, what did we see?
You have no idea how disappointed I was.
We were out last night doing some of these Grey Cup parties. At the first stop, we stopped to have a couple beers, some Las Vegas Posse jerseys walking around.
That's a douchebag.
Full gear. That's awesome,
it
man.
It was four guys, full gear.
That was great.
Full gear?
Full gear.
Yeah, see, that's what the CFL is.
Love it.
Right there.
Love it. You'll never see that at a Super Bowl, right? You'll never see the Baltimore Colts jersey walking around or whatever might be going on there.
It's Baltimore Stallions, I think they were.
Were they not the Colts at one point?
No.
They weren't the Alouettes back then? That didn't translate?
No, but Anthony Calvillo, who started out in San Antonio, whatever they were.
In the XFL?
Were they the gang? What were they? Yeah, San Antonio gang?
I can't remember now, to be honest.
Bumfuckers, I think.
Stam poopers.
Yeah.
You'll get that in a little while, folks.
I think anybody who knows football, and it doesn't matter what brand of football you follow, I think when you look at the actual matchup, I think when you look at the line, right, most people don't look at it. They don't give a damn, right? They want to see the nice throws. The quarterback, what is he doing? You know, when really the game is won and lost on the line, right? And I think you're looking at that front four, the defensive line of Toronto, I think is probably about as good as you're going to get in the CFL this year. Whereas the O-line that Bo Levi Mitchell is playing behind, I think when healthy is about the best offensive line in the league. And to me, that's obviously where this game is decided.
Right.
Is Edmonton going to be able to, is Toronto going to be able to penetrate the backfield and sort of knock Bo Levi off his rhythm? If that doesn't happen,
they got no shot,
in my opinion.
Yeah. To me, I think obviously Mike Riley would have something to say about this, and that's totally fair. But this is a fascinating and top end quarterback matchup, almost maybe as good as you could get in the league. Like I said, notwithstanding what Edmonton's bringing to the table, right? But to look at Bo Levi Mitchell versus Ricky Ray, and like that march in the fourth quarter after Saskatchewan came back, where Ricky just down the field, down one big play after another, third down to Wilder, like these sorts of things that keep happening, showed he's still got it, right? And I wonder, to me, that makes this an interesting matchup. But I also wonder, when you're showing that you're still that effective when you're healthy, is it as said and done as a lot of people earlier on the network, for those of you who listen to the AJ Jakubek show, he mentioned the possibility that Ricky Ray walks away if they win the championship. Is it as simple, do you think? I want to put this to both you guys, as if I win, I'm at a certain age, it'd be nice to go out on top. Or if you're still being pretty effective, do you just keep on going?
Depends what that paycheck is next year.
Well, yeah. It's the CFL.
hey, it's $400,000 or $500,000 for Ricky Ray, which I think is what you're looking at, right? And whatever he's going to do, I don't know where he went to school or what his faux degree says, right? But he's not going to be able to make the equivalent of 350 American doing whatever it is, right? And so to me, Bo Levi Mitchell and Riley in Edmonton, those are number one and two.
Yeah, okay.
Nichols, but Nichols in Winnipeg, I think when healthy, pretty damn good, right? Harris, Trevor Harris here, now his stats, always second and third in all the categories. But Ricky Ray, when healthy, which has been a problem in the last couple of years, he is still, you know, in the top half.
For sure he is. For sure he is.
So to me, the comparisons that have been made all week to Henry Burris last year, right? Can I win and walk away a Grey Cup champion, right? Now, Hank had that great option because he's smiling, Hank, of moving right into local media, right? So you're sort of, you're cushioning that blow. Ricky Ray could certainly do that, but I would suggest as an Argos, if I was an Argos fan, which, you know what? My rooting interest is still up for grabs tomorrow night.
Okay. See when you get there.
I think the Bluchador will have something to say about that.
Well, no, and really, you know what? The Argos, the CFL doesn't fit this. I hate the Leafs.
Sure.
Indifferent about the Raptors. But I'm a Jays fan. Yep. So it's not like I have this total complete hate for
you don't have a choice.
For Toronto. Whereas if it's a Stamps dominated crowd, I'm gonna throw my support over with the Bluchador.
Yeah.
There we go.
And I'm gonna go Argos tomorrow night.
We're gonna learn some Spanish though.
Yeah. Now if well, there's all kinds
let's just take it easy.
Yeah, exactly. We have all kinds.
Well, I want to throw it to Matty here, too, on the same subject. Do you think, you know, everything being considered, would you walk away if you were him if you won a championship? Or would you rather, even if it means a couple of subpar seasons after this, keep pulling down?
He did start with a tepid take of the paycheck?
You did what you do, and then I want to get it back over to him. Let me mediate here.
Somebody's got to mediate, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the dream, right? Especially as a quarterback. You see all the movies. I think John Elway did it properly. Did Peyton Manning walk away a champion as well, or did he do one more season?
He did. He had the neck problems.
Yeah.
He left after the Super Bowl year. Yeah. I believe that's true.
Yeah, I do. I think so.
There's something very poetic, very Hollywood ending about it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
We're talking about guys in the NFL who make a lot of money, who can do other things.
Peyton Manning's still going to go and do his chicken commercials or whatever the fuck that was.
Papa John's.
Yeah, John's.
That's right. Yeah, sorry.
Insurance commercials, that's
shit. He's already
shit.
Banked his $20 million a year.
He's
whatever.
Good, right?
And if you watched him at the ESPYs, he killed it.
Funny dude.
To me, and he's self-deprecating.
For sure.
For a guy with a big marshmallow head. Pretty good.
That's
not bad.
Fun.
It is, for sure it is.
Listen, I don't know what you do in the CFL. It's not like they're making a ton of money anyways. Ricky Ray's been playing for 15 years. He's taken a huge amount of beatings.
Yeah.
He's still a big game player. He's shown that time and time again. I have a feeling that if they win, the Argos are going to come with a nice big check to keep him in town because the Toronto market needs a big name.
Yeah.
And if he leaves, who's the big name you're bringing in?
Well, the CFL will probably help them find one like they did with Ricky Ray. But, well,
and you know what I think also helps Ricky Ray in this? And I don't know why it has to be Ricky Ray. Why we can't just call him Ray, right?
To me, is there a more is there a more football sounding name in the league? Is there other than maybe Bo Levi?
Bo Levi Mitchell, I think, is the other one for sure.
But Ricky Ray just sounds like a quarterback, doesn't he?
Out of the Southern States.
Or a NASCAR
he
driver.
Like he should have been starring in Varsity Blues, right?
Sure.
Cole Trickle.
Dick Trickle.
I think when you look at the Pop Tressman combo that's gone into Toronto, right, that had so much success in Montreal, they're going to bring a huge stabilizing.
Less in Chicago.
Yeah, but a huge
stable. What do you mean it didn't work? Well,
rocking the mullet still.
Yeah, love that.
I think the stability that they're going to bring to Toronto, which has been the impact's immediate, right? Considering they came in post-draft.
Post-draft. Like, what a season for the Argos, where things were a mess. Who shows up to the draft without a general manager?
Hello, Toronto.
Yeah.
Hello, CFL.
Yeah, seriously. It's charming in its way.
Yeah. Quaint,
and then
quirky.
Here we are in the championship game.
Listen, I was surprised to find out that the CFL draft doesn't actually happen at somebody's kitchen table. That was fucking news to me, boys.
Okay, and you know what? It's so hilarious when you look at...
There's more work and research put into our TCA fantasy yeah, hockey draft.
So TSN, right?
Listen, we're sitting here during the opening trying to make draft or make trades.
Yeah. No, it's
true. We take that serious.
Yeah. TSN, which does a fantastic job with their Friday Night Football, with their football coverage on CFL. They do great World Junior coverage. They do great hockey coverage.
Yeah.
I tuned into the CFL draft this year, and honestly, it's like an old game show, right? Where you got somebody up there, and it's like, "Hey, Louie, what's your uncle doing? Can he MC this?" And it's just him standing in front of one of those old Price is Right boards in behind.
Show me Ricky Ray.
It is, and he's like, and the Blue Bombers with their first, and you're like, "Oh my God, this is so small time, right?" And looking at. You know, TSN doing their NHL draft coverage and all that shit. It's big league.
Yeah.
Right? It's just something about the CFL is so small time. It's just...
One of the all-time great Simpsons jokes that lives both on this side of the border and the American side of the border is Homer Simpson passed out on the couch with a beer on his stomach going, and you can hear his TV in the background. We now return to seventh round coverage of the Canadian football draft. The Winnipeg or the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Ottawa Rough Riders have completed a trade, right? And it just cuts away. But yeah. There's just something about the CFL. There's nothing else on. I guess I'll watch the CFL draft.
And see, the East Coast franchise that they're hoping to bring in, the expansion team.
The Scoons.
Was actually going to be the Bombers. They thought.
Why not?
East Coast Bombers. Yes, absolutely. huge military history and. What? No, that's not really true. But
that would have been awesome.
I was buying.
Well, yeah, Maddie was
buying everything you're selling over here.
Come on.
Nobody would do shit that stupid. Oh wait, this league already had 9 teams and 2 of them the same name, and it wasn't Lions or Bears or Rams or anything like that.
Something obscure as shit.
Yeah, let's call our team the Picadillos. Oh wait, we already have one of those. Get out of here.
Yeah, to me, do you expect tomorrow? What do you expect when we get to the stadium in terms of crowd split? It's going to be the CFL, the Grey Cup is unique in the fact that you can tell just walking around downtown this week, there's a lot of people in. It's going to be tough for an Ottawa crowd, I would think, to get behind Toronto, right? Even though, as you've stated, the CFL rivalry, at least as of yet, isn't as strong. I don't think you see near the Toronto presence coming up the 401 that you did last year in terms of Ottawa going down to Toronto. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of anticipating a fairly substantial Calgary.
Based on last night's extracurricular activities, yeah. There was a lot of snakeskin shoes and a lot of cowboy hats.
True.
And I don't think there was a lot of blue out there.
No, you might have been the only one.
I might have been the I saw a couple old guys out there who might have been lost.
Myrtle and Greta, I think, is what Scott MacArthur was calling them.
So I'm not anticipating a big double blue presence out there.
Right.
I've also heard that a lot of people from Ottawa are dumping their tickets.
I had also heard that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. That was the dirt I was getting today at lunch. It's getting the Ottawa dirt going on. So
talking to your sources.
Yeah, talking to the sources down here on the street level. So maybe some Toronto fans are picking tickets up in StubHub maybe. Maybe SeatGeeks doing that sort of thing. I mean, the East Final didn't really get close to full until the weekend of.
Yeah. Yeah, it did better than anything else they've done since they moved. But like you said, not a total sellout. And
yeah. And now it was busy, but it wasn't busy from, the onset, right?
Right.
Argo fans or Toronto fans need the time to kind of listen to it on TV, listen to it on the radio.
Be told what they should be.
They've had 50 years.
Yeah. I agree.
We've had 50 years, but we still think Pinball Clemens plays for the team.
Oh, man. Would love that.
I fully agree with both of you. I think it'll be a pro-Calgary crowd. As I said, the rivalry isn't the same in the CFL, but it's a very clear... if you have an option other than a Toronto option,
yeah.
I'm taking that. Right. Traditionally.
Yep.
Now, I am just a contrarian by nature, so I don't really care about that. My feelings aren't strong enough in a CFL way. Yeah, if it's heavy Calgary tomorrow, I am throwing my support behind the underdog double blue.
Yeah, like we haven't, it's been a while since we talked about it, but there's some sporting events that you don't really know. The Super Bowl for me is like this almost every year until you sit down and start watching. You don't know
World Series is like that for me all the time too.
Yeah, like is it, whatever it is, something just speaks to you and you find yourself, you know, pumped or pissed off about something, or does it feel like the refs are blowing something and puts behind?
Yeah. For me, it's I hate that team. So if it's not my team in it,
right.
I'm usually drawn to who I hate and then go the other way.
Yeah. But like I had none of that this year in terms of an Astros-Dodgers World Series. I didn't hate or love either team. So it was just kind of, I guess I'll start watching and see what happens.
I hate Don Mattingly. Okay. And I'm not even sure he's involved with the Dodgers anymore.
I just wanted to get that out there.
Was it his Simpson cameo? Like what?
For sure it was. And that's also Ken Griffey Jr., all those sorts of things, right?
Oh, what a great episode.
Again, you know how much I agree with Rob, which is all the time.
Obviously.
But that's actually the same thing for me. If I hate a team, like I'm almost more drawn into something that I ordinarily wouldn't care about.
Sure.
So this year's World Series, didn't really care, to be honest. And maybe the first World Series in a couple years where I didn't watch.
I didn't watch it at all.
And I know it went seven, and they tried to sell it.
That was a hell of a series.
Didn't care.
Yeah.
Nothing about Houston makes me excited about anything when it comes to baseball.
A couple marquee pitching matchups and everything, but I wasn't drawn into it at all.
In the same vein, and I we'll venture a little away here, but is it different last year? I didn't really have a rooting interest. It was Cleveland-Chicago. But the Cubs thing was interesting because it's been 100. Like, is that enough to get the juices going?
And that Cubs team was so young and so dynamic, you had the huge drought, and you're like, this Cub team, it could win. It could be a dynasty. It could win multiple championships in a row, right? And you're like,
just the way that whole thing played out too, where it looked like Cleveland was going to win, and the rain delay and the big long game going to game seven. That was crazy, man. Plus, I wanted Cleveland to lose because they beat the Jays.
For sure. Yeah. And that Indians team was winning with like Band-Aids and rubber bands. It was just, they're like, those guys should not be winning. The Jays should have knocked those fuckers out of the box, right? But weren't able to. They were sort of elusive.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't finish him, right? And you go,
finish him.
There's no reason. There's no reason that team should still be there.
Some great Blue Jays talk on the last episode, Talk and Sports 185 with Scott MacArthur. Check that out if you haven't had a chance
yet. Dude is connected and in deep, eh, Scott Honestly, MacArthur?
The talk we had maybe after the show was maybe more interesting than what we did on the air.
Okay, but that's why. Exactly. The shit that doesn't make it on the air is a reason for that. But he's got that great radio voice, too.
Check it out, Patreon fans. Maybe.
But maybe.
No. I think that's wrong. Yeah, we posted it all there. Just go sign up. Well, no, we didn't.
He'd already gave it a couple knocks. This isn't on, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Good, smart, pro. Yeah. Guy's been around.
I've got a couple more beers in me, and the tongue is getting loose.
Super generous with his time. So check that show out, and big thanks to Scott MacArthur for that. To me, anything else that's on your mind about this game before we start getting into predictions? Because to me, it's an interesting matchup. But there's no real, like, screaming storylines about, you know, this is clearly going to be someone's last game, or there's some horrifying, you know, I think the Jason Moss decision, had they been successful, even then that gets forgotten because, you know, you come back down and score and all of a sudden he's proven. Like, there's usually something that's like, oh, I can't believe that happened in one of the finals. Or there's, like, it's been kind of a quiet build, but being around downtown last night, and we're going to go check out again tonight, the city's kind of buzzing. Like, there's a good feel for it here, but there's no, like, overwhelming storyline or something. You know what I mean?
And you know what? I was watching there was a little clip I was looking at online, and they were flashing back to the 66 Grey Cup, which was held here in town as well.
On Rob's 18th birthday.
Old man Grey Cup. And just how different shit was. The stadium, they're still playing in the same place, but they're on natural grass.
Yeah.
And you got people in the stands. The south side looks totally different. It's small. It's and people in the stands with 40-pounders just pouring them right into glasses and shit. And there's people – it just – to me, it seemed like – wow, that's like – honestly, that's a different place right. and a different time, right? You just – you're looking at it. Back then, people totally bought into it. I think a huge part of it was the drinking.
Well, we don't do that anymore.
No, that's yeah. we frown
way different nowadays.
We frown upon that.
Shout out, Nita.
But yeah, the city has clearly bought into this, and the tourism that it brings in, and it's infectious, right? You have people from all across the country come in, as we touched on, that same small town or small time feel when you look at the draft. Right. Well, that plays into a positive, I think, when everybody rolls in and you go, yeah, your team finished last, but I'm still here because I love the Grey Cup party.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to roll in and watch the game regardless.
Well, as I hand this off to Maddie, like you, as soon as we were in there and we're standing at the bar with a beer, you're kind of going, I have underestimated the Grey Cup party, right? Like, totally see.
Didn't, like, just... It was some mixture of being back Spirit of Edmonton, in college. By the way, yeah. It was Spirit of Edmonton, yeah. Not the Blue Bomber Party. Everybody no. just avoid that.
Bomber House, great name.
Bad party.
You can come and hang out with me and Maddie party. And no one else. Just me and Maddie.
Hey, it was great service at the bar, though, I guess.
Yeah, true.
Nobody was butting their lines. Listen, I was totally surprised. And I like happily, pleasantly surprised by the turnout. What the streets down in the market looked like last night, it was wild.
Okay, but the market on a Friday and a Saturday night is usually normally fairly busy anyway.
Now this was a clear CFL crowd.
Okay,
though. So we're talking. Okay. It wasn't people going out, college students going out,
clubbing things like that.
Yeah, none of that happening. This was jerseys. This was capes. This was mink coats,
cowboy hats,
cowboy hats,
capes and mink coats.
This was a.
It was fascinating to me too.
Super
what you're
fan
talking
party.
About, because I often now don't go to the market on a Friday Saturday night anymore. I'm too old.
Old man.
Well, if I'm gonna do it, yeah, there's something to that, but only because I think, yes, I'm old and I have to get up early on Saturdays and I get tired, right? So, yes. But if I'm gonna do it, I'm probably gonna go to Elgin or something like that, right? Where there's young
pubs. I want a pub.
The market is much more of a young person's.
You want Murder She Wrote on the TV,
right?
Where's my Angela Lansbury? Where is that? Coronation Street. What do I got going on?
Exactly. Got to catch up on my Corey. The market is where the university and the college kids seem to go. So it's been a long time since I've been there on a late kind of Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
It was super cool to see. You do normally see on a Friday and Saturday night, it's girls dressed up like they're going clubbing. It's guys all trying to be cool, right? There's a certain vibe of this.
Did anybody ask you to take your hat off last night?
No one asked me to take my hat off last night. Maddie mentioned that too. He's like, I don't remember last time I was in it. Because he goes to different bars than I do, but yeah, certainly.
Okay. It was actually, for me, like being from Toronto, usually in that scene.
Boo!
Being able to wear a ball cap into like a bar or a club.
Is that more popular? Because back in the day, and I'm talking 90s, early 2000s,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You rocked a hat all the time, right? But more and more places now, right? They're telling you.
If you're in a sports bar or pub, do your thing.
On the mic, but boss.
It's only when I talk to Rob.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
God damn.
Talk to Matt.
Always talk to Matt. Let me mediate for you.
I have no problems talking of the side of my mouth. That's the difference right there.
I got to go back to what I usually do, which is just pretend Rob doesn't exist.
All right. That'll work, man.
But you can't when he's a foot and a half away.
Throwing elbows.
Albatross over here.
This is it.
But it was, just to finish that thought, it is a bigger thing in Toronto, but the rules have relaxed a little bit in the last 10 years or so. It used to be really bad. It used to be collared shirt, dress shoes.
Yeah.
All the time.
Check
all
your
the time.
Hat at the door.
Are you allowed to vomit in a place like that?
Lord knows I did.
Okay, there you go. I was going to say.
I don't know if I was allowed, but I did it.
No one invited me. Never ask permission. Always ask for forgiveness.
And like I was, that was a fascinating thing to me on the Friday night in the market. It looked nothing like that. The cool kids weren't out. It was all jerseys and cowboy hats. And it was really kind of cool to see this clearly small town thing take over a part of. I want to be careful how I phrase this because Toronto frequently gets accused, and accurately so, for trying to be New York. there are parts of Ottawa on a weekend that are trying to be Toronto, right, and make it kind of a...
Oh, well, Toronto is 7 times bigger than we are. So to me, I have no issue with,
sure,
with big city versus...
Right, but just in terms
more
of...
More provincial.
You're still, you know, trying to go clubbing, even though Ottawa's club scene is a little, you know, and but you can tell there's women walking around and stuff in February in Ottawa on a Saturday night that... You're going to get hypothermia, but this is what you're supposed to look like when you go clubbing. So,
there was
none of that.
If I had to pick things that Matt would be upset about as an old man.
Oh, pretty, let me get the list.
Pretty girls dressed appropriately going clubbing on a Friday is not on the top 10 list.
I'm not saying it's an irritation. I'm not saying it's an irritation.
Where do you think you're going with that short skirt, young lady?
You go right home.
I'm saying it was amazing or it blew me away to see none of that last night. It was all people, like you say, in weird shit, clearly doing the CFL thing and going, yeah, this is what we do. And they had taken over.
Oh, definitely.
The market was CFL everything.
If you want to see the 45-year-old women dance, just throw on some Shania Twain, baby. Okay, let loose.
All right. Well, yeah. We've seen that. We've seen that, and it's scary, really, to be honest with you. And 45,
I didn't say it was a good thing.
Yeah, 45-year-old women, I endorse that. Sure, go ahead. It's the 75-year-old women.
That I expected to see at Bomber House, but the Wheel of Fortune was over, and they had
to
get home.
As we've alluded to, we're heading out tonight.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit the boat.
Are we taking bets on if Rob makes it out tonight? Or what's the over-under?
I'm saying rock solid, ready to go, man.
Yeah, what are we doing tonight? Ryderville?
I think we started the Boatyard.
Yeah.
The Barley Mow. Yeah.
Barley Mow.
I think Mo's called the Mo.
Okay. I don't know.
Good pints. You can get a pint of Guinness there, right? And clearly because it's an Argonauts party. There'll be nobody there, so
there'll be a table.
I'm hoping we can just rock straight in.
Yeah,
well, lay a base you're gonna down. Be with the VIP tonight, boys.
Love it.
The double luchador.
There will be at least a picture or two on the Tall Can Audio Facebook page. Make sure you check that out. Facebook.com. Yeah,
and then I want to hit Ryderville and I want to hit Stamps House.
Yeah,
right. So we're gonna
apparently at a pizzeria.
Oh, really?
But it's right on site, though, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's called Pizzeria Bar and Pizzeria or something. So
Industria.
Industria Bar and Pizzeria or Pizzeria and Bar, I can't remember. But I'm intrigued by that.
Are you willing to spend $30 in entry fees tonight?
Well, I think you better be.
Okay.
Yeah, I think $10 entry fees seems spot, yes. Okay to me.
I would have been pissed if they charged me that at... Bomber House last night. They're like, okay, what we stop and like, is this where Bomber House is? Because there's another. It's like, yeah, you go up 3 flights of stairs. I'm like, all right. You're going up and it's actually getting quieter and quieter as you approach the party.
further from street level you get.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, and there was no cover charge for that.
Well, and one we haven't talked about too much, boys, and I know we kind of said, you know, maybe we'd skip it as Our Nation.
Yeah.
But I think if we do have time, I think
we're hearing nothing but good things.
Well, that
it seems like there's a big party going on there. If you're following anybody on social media,
yeah.
Well, and the last couple of years, it has been the party,
right?
Right in the last couple of cities, it was at Jack Astor's last year.
When I think Ottawa, I think party animals.
Our Nation, yeah,
yeah. Well, and I'd said to you ahead of time, it didn't intrigue me in any way. I go to the games.
Yeah.
I live here, right?
Right.
I get the whole...
I know the
Ottawa customs.
And this is it. I know what's going on there. But yeah, I think it is going to be a place that's likely going to be jumping.
Yeah. Well, and as we're bombing around, like that's one of the nice things is as they've set up so many of these. Like last night, we kind of hit a couple of the ones that were downtown in the market. For those of you who are familiar with Ottawa...
And I'm not saying I missed it at all.
For those of you who are familiar with Ottawa, understand that the TV Place, the stadium they've put up, is now surrounded by kind of a pretty hopping bar scene, and they've put a bunch of the parties in there, and even some places aren't traditionally, like the Ryderville party is at the Horticulture Building.
Which is a great building right on site.
Right. So it's all kind of in this general area, and if you hit one or two and it's not speaking to you, then you just jump in and you go check out Our Nation, and I think it's at Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
So there's lots going on there. Anything else we want to hit before we get to predictions?
No, man.
Okay, well, like I said earlier on, we hit up a couple of our friends, a couple of our guests this week.
I got to stop you there for a second. Are we picking just a score? Or are we picking outstanding player and outstanding Canadian?
Look at this fucking guy.
Well, okay. All right.
Because I got Mike Vanderjagt with a bullet.
I will be the outstanding Canadian, Mike Vanderjagt. I promise you.
Yeah, if you have an MVP selection, which is going to be one of the two quarterbacks.
MOP.
Guaranteed. that's of the league.
Yeah, I know. All right, so we're going to throw to that. You can hear what some of our friends and guests thought gave for their predictions, and then we'll come back and give ours.
This is Steve McLean from the OHL Fanboys Podcast, and you're listening to the Tall Can Audio Network's coverage of the 105th Grey Cup between the Calgary Stampeders and the Toronto Argonauts. And, you know, Matty has asked me to give my prediction of the big game on Sunday, and it's a tough call. The Stampeders, the Argonauts, two great teams, but really, if you think about it, the Argos are like Vikings because they're boatmen, right? That's what their like translation is. And the Stampeders, well, they're horses, I guess, and so it's kind of like the Colts versus the Vikings. And I can't pick the Vikings over the Colts, can I? That would just be irresponsible. Calgary's going to win this game 30-25.
Hi, AJ Jakubek from TSN 1200. The head says Calgary 27, Toronto 23, but I'm going to go with an East victory here because I don't have to put my own money on this. I'm going to say ABC, that's the old Edmonton in me, and anybody but Calgary, and I'll say the Stampeders choke again. Five Grey Cups in the last 25 years. And they've been a first-place team 13 times. They can't seem to get over the choking in the big games. And so I'm going to go with Ricky Ray in his last game in the Canadian Football League, leading Toronto to a 28-27 victory.
Hey, everyone. It's Canadian Paralympian Amy Burke. I'm in Brazil right now where it's raining a ton, but way warmer than it is in Ottawa. As much as I'd love to be cheering on the Ottawa Red Blacks down here for the Grey Cup, I'm going to have to go with the Stampeders, 38-29.
This is Nate Sager with the Sports Lit podcast and the CIS blog. My prediction on the Grey Cup. 7 years ago this month, I saw Liram Hirilahu kick a field goal for the Western Mustangs to win the Yates Cup in the same venue where the Grey Cup will be played Sunday. And I'm thinking that's going to happen again. The Argos will win the Grey Cup over the Stampeders, 31-29.
All right, this is Andy Nita from the Nita Beer Company. I'm going to call it 23, Argos 21, Stampoopers. That's my Grey Cup prediction.
Hey, it's David Foote from 800-CJBQ in Belleville, QuinnyNews.com, also covering the Belleville Senators. And while I think Bo Levi Mitchell is an outstanding quarterback and one of the best in the league, I can't bet against my man Ricky Ray and the Argos, so I'm picking them to take home the 105th Grey Cup in Ottawa.
And we are back in.
Hey, Footy, what's the score, man?
Well, you gave us plenty.
He's got a great radio voice, though.
For sure he does, man. That's why he's doing what he's doing down there with the Belleville Senators. Thanks to all of our guests there for sharing a little bit of their time and giving their predictions for the Grey Cup. Start with Rob.
Yeah, you know what? I think everybody has sort of swayed back and forth. And,
it's a tough call, this one.
Not really.
Okay.
I think when you really look, cut it straight down, Calgary losing last year when they were the dominant team as well last year, and they get slapped in the face by a more physical Red Blacks team. I don't think that's going to happen again this year. I think you're looking at 35-20 Stampeders.
Matty.
35-20. Wow. Okay, here's what I got. 31-28, double blue. Wilder Jr. wins the most outstanding player of the game. Mike Vanderjagt.
Gene Wilder Jr. is who he's talking about, too.
Mike Vanderjagt somehow wins a Canadian of the game.
Love that.
I don't know how. Argos win on a field goal in overtime, and we get at least one rouge.
All right. Oh,
the rouge is a great that's a given.
Take that in Vegas.
Would not be the Grey Cup without the rouge. For me, I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I'm going to make a call here. I think if the Argos are going to win, as we talked about earlier, it's got to be much lower scoring. If they're going to win, it's because they got to Bo Levi Mitchell. They've been able to conquer that offensive line. But I still think it's got to be low scoring. I'm going to say Argos take it 21-18. It's going to be a tight one.
I like it.
Yeah.
So it, just before
East Coast bias.
Just before we head out of here.
Yeah.
Do you know, running through the all the other hosts and their predictions, that's got to be Argos leading in predictions, yeah?
So Nate Sager took the Argos. Amy Burke took Calgary. AJ Jakubek took
Toronto.
Toronto. Andy took Toronto from Need a Beer Company.
Footy.
Steve. Footy took
Toronto.
Yeah. So you're right. They're...
So it's only Amy and I.
Looks like.
With Calgary. And as you've said, Matt, to me...
Well, wait, what was the equivalency on Steve's... The Boatmen were the Vikings.
and the Stampeders were the Colts.
Yeah. So I think he was in on the Calgary win as well.
He was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Steve McClain at the OHL Fanboys on side with the Stampeders.
Okay. Which you would never take the Colts over the Vikings.
Well, so especially not this year. Man, oh man, that would never be the case.
Case Keenum for MVP.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, here comes my NFL talk.
Yeah.
Had to weave that in.
Tracked. Yeah, oh. If Toronto is going to win, it's got to be low.
Yep.
But if the score gets high, there's no way.
I agree with that.
Is there a bet we can take that maybe the Argos defense actually outscores the Argos offense?
Sure.
Because I think there could be some interceptions.
Back in the Rich Stubler days. And
there could be some fumble returns. I think that's how they win.
Orlando Steinhauer.
That's how they win tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what? It's to me, this is an intriguing matchup, if nothing else. And so I'm stoked to be doing this. We're going to have at least one more show for you. We're going to try and collect some audio while we're out on Saturday night. We will have a post-game and TCA Grey Cup week wrap-up after the Grey Cup, so you can look for that. That'll be out there for you on Monday mornings. No S on that, just this Monday morning. So we'll get around to collecting a few more things for you, maybe even an audio whiplash with the boys here while we got the chance. But this has been good. The Grey Cup 105 looks like it's going to be pretty solid. Thanks for checking out this show. All our shows this week are under the hashtag TCA Goes Gray if you want to search for them on social media, or you can just hit tallcanaudio.com. Thank you to Need a Beer, needabeer.com. Hit them up there or at 190 Colonnade Road in Ottawa. For Maddie and Rob, this is Matt. Enjoy the game.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.